News Talk 830 WEEU online, 830WEEU.com. A Friday here on Mornings with Mike. Thanks so much for joining us and hopping on right now to talk about his show tonight at the Santander Performing Arts Center, 8 o'clock. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com and the Santander Arena box office. Is the creator, writer, executive producer for Everybody Loves Raymond, and a man who is transferred from sitcoms to travel and food television. Phil Rosenthal is with us right now. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be in Reading. I'm so excited. I've never been in Reading.
Well, you've been not too far from here. As I watched season 6 of Somebody Feed Phil, it led off in Philadelphia. So we're about an hour from Philly. So you're very, very familiar with the region.
I am, and I even did the live show that I'm doing tonight in Philly. But I am really looking forward to Reading because I hear that, how did you say it, the Santander Theater?
The Santander Performing Arts Center.
You know, when you look at it, I thought it was going to be pronounced Santander.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. I say Santander because I actually used to work for the bank before I got in radio. So that's how they said it.
Got it. Well, either way, I'm very excited to be there. I think there are a few seats left. So people, I would just show up tonight. I think you will get in.
I think
and
you will.
If you do, and if you do the VIP thing, I'm taking a picture with you. And if you bring your book from home, I'm going to sign your book. Proceeds from my share of the book go to IAMALS.org. That's what my nice mom passed away from. Mm. And so that's why I'm doing this tour. I have a purpose.
That's fantastic.
It's not just fun and games for me, but the show is fun and games. You and I are going to be on stage together.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell my funny stories for a while, and then we talk to the audience, and that's really fun.
I can't wait, man. I think it's going to be a blast up at the Santander Performing Arts Center. Now, you mentioned your book that released in October of last year, New York Times bestseller, and it's a collection of recipes, stories, behind-the-scenes stuff, photos from the first four seasons. What are some of the highlights from the first four seasons that are included in that book?
Well, if you like Somebody Feed Phil, this is Somebody Feed Phil, the book. And it has all my essays and thoughts about each place that we've been in for the first four seasons. And the most requested recipes from you guys, from the audience, I got 60 of them. 60 of the world's best recipes from the world's best chefs. It might be the best cookbook ever because of the diversity of the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But the most requested recipe in the book actually is in there, which is pork chop from Venice, Italy.
Mm.
And it's so simple to make, but that, for some reason, that struck a nerve with people.
They thought it was too easy?
I don't know. It's one of those magic tricks in cooking where it's so simple to make and yet has a complexity and deliciousness of flavor that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the recipe right now. It's so easy. You pound a pork cutlet or chop very thin, and then you egg it, and then you breadcrumb it, and you put it in the frying pan with regular oil. Then you drain off that oil, and you finish it off with white wine vinegar.
Ooh.
And that is it. And it's like a magic trick. How can that be one of the most delicious things you've ever eaten? But I swear to you it is. And if you've seen the Venice episode, it's in there.
It really does seem like there should be 28 steps for all this food that you eat. But you're right. Some of it is magic. And is that what draws you into food and the food scene? The fact that it is almost like magic at times, and the way it makes people feel?
Yes, and the book is not really for me because I do not cook. It's a perfect companion book to the show, so that part of the book is, if you like the show, you'll like the book. But for chefs out there, our home cooks, all the recipes have been tested for you to make these things at home. And I am not a chef. I am not a cook. I am the kid who loves magic. And if you tell me how the trick is done, it's really not magic anymore, except in the case of something like that pork chop, where it's like sleight of hand magic. You see it happen before your eyes, and you still can't believe it.
Yeah, Yeah. As much as you enjoy food, and that's one of the things I take away from Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix more than anything else, every bite, yes, I can just see the joy in your eyes. Why haven't you ever transferred that love of food into, you know, cooking and making some of these dishes for yourself?
Well, you know, we all contribute in our way. I know a lot of the great chefs in the world now, and they can't write a sitcom.
That's a great point.
Right? That's, I don't, right, say to them when they watch the sitcom, hey, why don't you write your own sitcom? I don't say that. And they like me anyway, even if I'm not a cook, because I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't love them more. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Magic Show.
Yeah, and it's so much fun to watch you as a fan. And I want to go back to Philadelphia for just a second, because you went somewhere that just about everybody that can hear my voice right now has been, the Reading Terminal Market. And you...
I love it.
You literally...
It's called Reading for a reason, Reading.
You literally ran around that market. How much fun was it to be able to just go around and basically order one of everything?
It was a total joy for me, because I've been going there for years. Because I love Pennsylvania so much that I married one of you. And so I've been going for years. And the Reading Terminal Market is always one of my first stops. And I love almost everything in that building. It's dangerous because I eat a lot of stuff there.
You know, it really is. And when I watch the show, I see the amount of food that is brought to you everywhere you go. Are you still kind of overwhelmed by that? Because I look at that table sometimes that you're sitting at, and I wouldn't even know where to start.
I'm just blessed, you know? I'm the luckiest guy you're ever going to talk to. So, yes, I have many, many choices always. And I'll tell you tonight what the secret is to doing it.
I can't wait to hear that secret. That's tonight at the Santander Performing Arts Center with Phil Rosenthal. Doors open at 7. Show begins at 8. One of the other episodes in season 6 was from Santiago, Chile. And one of the things that I was just blown away by was their love of sandwiches, Phil. You think of the sandwich as kind of our thing, an
American thing.
But, man, they adore it down there.
Not only do they adore it, you heard what the people said to me. You know, we might put some mayo on the sandwich as a condiment, and they say, it's not a condiment here, it's an ingredient.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm talking about 2 tablespoons of mayo on a sandwich. They love their mayo.
It was the most mayo I think I've ever seen in one episode of a television show.
And because it is somewhat messy...
Mm-hmm.
They use a knife and fork usually.
Yeah. Well, they're also giant. They're not sandwiches as we think of them. They are mountains of food between 2 pieces of bread.
Well, I found a way to cut them and eat them with my hands because I guess you can take the boy out of America, right? But I couldn't help myself.
I don't blame you.
I love eating with my hands. Don't you? It just brings you closer to the food.
Absolutely. It's the most fun. One other quick thing from Santiago, Chile.
Sure.
The Piore.
Yeah. Piore.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Can you try to explain to folks, first of all, what it is, what it's used for, and then when you pop that whole giant piece in your mouth, what you experienced? Yes.
Sure. Well, the chef was a wonderful chef. He's one of the best chefs in South America, and I'd already eaten a lot of wonderful things from him. So I was very trusting. And then he cut open this diseased-looking coral and pulled out, like, the beating heart of this animal, and it was this orange glop of a thing. And he put it in my hand, and because I trusted him and thought he was a great chef, I put that glop in my mouth. And I was rocked back. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The flavor was so strong and crazy, and not in a good way for me. And he goes, it's like a punch in the face, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. Thank you for that. People wrote to me after, and they said a couple of things. When they saw the show, they DM'd me and the people from Chile. And said, listen, you're supposed to have a tiny piece of that. You're not supposed to eat that much, right? Because it's a very, very strong thing. And we take little pieces of it, and we put lime and cilantro and scallions and everything else in it to mask the taste of this animal. And then the second thing they told me was the reason you reacted like that was because that sea creature, this puree, is very, very rich in iodine.
Oh.
Yes. So it's like I drank a bottle of iodine.
Did it hit you right away, or did it take a second?
Oh, yes.
Right away?
Oh, no. It hits. It's immediate.
Immediate. And then you did try it in the episode with some of the foods you're supposed to try it with, but one of those things that's still not for you, right?
Well, here's the thing. Once you've had a bad experience with a food, the reminder of that food, no matter how small a taste of it, you know, like I'm sure we've all had this experience where we've become physically ill from a food, which did not happen to me with the puree, but it has happened like in childhood, right, where you had a bad night and you got sick from eating something. You never want that food again. You never want even a reminder of that food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of what that was like for me. It was certainly better than eating a giant glob of it because they did it the way they you know, the way they eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was better. But still there was that little taste in the back there that, I remember when it wasn't so pleasant.
And you mentioned the little fleshy thing that comes out of the animal. That was one of the best examples of magic in the food world that I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
Just because you look at this thing and you're like, it doesn't look like anything that would include at all anything you'd want to eat. But then they slice it open, this thing comes out. Don't you wonder when you see things like that, Phil, how do they figure out that that is an edible piece of whatever that is?
You got it. You know, these creatures have been around for a long time before mankind was around. And, you know, the famous saying was a brave man who once ate an oyster.
Yep.
Right? Who discovers this stuff? I was in Japan, and somebody said, oh, these ants on the salad are delicious. I said, really? They said, yep, they look like black carpenter ants. I said, oh, I don't know. They said, you got to try them. They taste like lemon. And I said, oh, if it's lemon flavor we're after, could I have some lemon? But I did it because I, you know, because my companion was doing it, and also I'm on TV, so I feel like I have to do it. So I didn't want to, and it took all the courage I could muster to bite into this ant, and it crackled a little bit, a little crunch, and damn, though, if it wasn't as if somebody put a drop of lemon on my tongue. And so now I start asking questions to the chef. Did you baste these in lemon? Is that why it tastes like lemon? And he said, no, that this ant, not every ant, but this particular ant from this particular part of the forest in this particular part of Japan, these taste like lemon. So, again, you have to wonder. Who was the guy who had to taste all the ants in the forest until he found the lemony one?
Yeah, that's a brave, brave man. But you're a brave man for trying it.
I am.
I know.
So that's the point. That's the point of the show. I started out very, very squeamish and afraid like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you travel, the more you open your mind to new experiences, the braver you become. Because if everyone fears the unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all fear the unknown. But when you travel, the world is less unknown. Now I know things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not as afraid to try an ant. It's still not at the top of my menu list of things I'd like to have in my life. But I'm also not deathly afraid of it. Because I had a good experience. Or even an experience that didn't kill me. I know what puree is now.
Yep. And so does everybody else, thanks to you, Phil.
That's right.
Phil Rosenthal, right. Somebody feed Phil. You're going to see him tonight at the Santander Performing Arts Center. Get your ticket. Show starts at 8. Doors open at 7. Ticketmaster.com or come to the box office tonight and join us. Do you find that adventurous eating pays off positively more than it doesn't?
Every single time. Because the journey is its own reward. And I'll say this. If you can open a mouth, you can open a mind.
That is a very deep, and that might be the most profound thing that's ever been said on this dopey radio show, Phil.
Oh, well, thanks, my friend. Listen, for you Reading citizens of Reading.
Yes.
What do we call them? Readingites?
Sure.
Readingites. If you're hearing this morning, I want you to DM me at phil.rosenthal. That's my Instagram. phil.rosenthal. And I want you to tell me where I should eat tonight in Reading. You might have some ideas, too.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be eating?
I want to hear from the people.
Are you going to even be eating pre-show or post-show? Or both?
I think I have time pre-show.
Pre-show.
I think I have pre-show.
Pre-show.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Yeah. There's lots of good options here in Berks County. Whether you're looking for fine dining or something a little more casual, we have plenty of fantastic eateries here for you to choose from. I do want
nothing too fancy. I don't have time for fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I prefer the more casual. I only care about delicious.
Excellent. Well, there is a bar that is pretty famous. There's a couple actually here in Reading. One's the Peanut Bar, and the other is the Ugly Oyster. Both are outstanding choices and not too far from the Santander Arena.
Santander, I'm coming.
There you go. One more quick thing for you. Like all radio shows, we're doing a dopey bracket thing once the NCAA tournament starts, and we're doing sandwiches this year. And right now, there's a lot of arguments on what should be the number one seed in our tournament. People have said peanut butter and jelly, grilled cheese, Italian hoagie, cheesesteak because of our correlation to the Philadelphia region. If you had to pick one sandwich, Phil, that would be a number one seed in a 32-sandwich bracket, what would you pick?
How about a controversial choice? You ready?
Go ahead.
A hot dog. Because there's a whole argument about whether a hot dog is a sandwich.
I know.
And I say it's technically a sandwich. Technically. Now, nobody calls it that. Even I don't call it that.
Uh-huh.
But technically, literally, it's something between bread.
Well, I'll tell you, we've already eliminated the hot dog and the hamburger from the tournament.
Got it.
All right.
All right. So forget that. I'm going to say a pastrami sandwich.
There you go. Why do you think the pastrami is the ultimate sandwich, Phil?
Well, if you get it at Langer's here in Los Angeles, and I'm sure you have great pastrami in Pennsylvania too, but for some reason, Langer's is one of my favorite things I've ever eaten in my life. It's a pastrami with coleslaw, Russian dressing, and a piece of Swiss cheese. It's hot pastrami, and the bread is so fantastic, the rye bread that they use. Come on, people. That sounds like a good sandwich, doesn't it?
You're making me hungry, Phil. Phil Rosenthal, like you do
That's
all
my
the time.
Job.
Every time. Somebody feed Phil on Netflix. Somebody feed Phil the book. New York Times bestseller released back in October. You can find it. And check out season 6 because I saw on Netflix. Season 7 is coming our way, Phil.
Aren't I lucky? Isn't that great? I'm so excited. I'm going to start filming next month.
Well, we can't
wait
to
watch
it.
Netflix doesn't want me to tell you where, but it's going to be good.
We can't wait. We can't wait. Go see him tonight at the Santander Performing Arts Center. Phil Rosenthal, 8 o'clock is the showtime. 7 o'clock doors open. And check out season 6 of Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. Not only does he go to Philly and Santiago, but he goes to Croatia, Nashville, and Austin. Oh, Austin, with all that barbecue goodness. And Nashville, where you said maybe the best sentence I've ever heard anyone say, which was breakfast, brisket, biscuit. It was music to my ears, Phil.
That's a good thing.
All right, my friend. I can't wait to see you tonight at the Performing Arts Center. Can't wait to meet you. Thank you for taking some time to chat with us here this morning. And
same here.
Everybody come on out and see Phil tonight at the Santander Performing Arts Center.
See you later.